Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God.
Come on. Amen. I actually have a little testimony as well. A couple days ago, I was getting a little stressed about a few things, and I was like, man, I got to take care of some stuff and about the, you know, apartment and all this stuff and whatnot. I'm just kind of stressing out, and then my friend calls me. He's like, hey, you know, actually he texts me. He's like, hey, give me a call. So I give him a call when I could, and I'm all stressing out and worried about the stuff, and he's asking me other questions. I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm stressed out about something else. And he's like, let me pray for you, bro. So he says a quick prayer, and words have power. And he says a quick prayer, and I'm like, yeah, you know, we hang up and stuff, and I'm like trying to figure out something else with work and everything else. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to give a call to whoever I was stressed out about and talk to them about the things we're supposed to be talking about. And I called him, and I figured everything out, and just after his prayer, man, I got this peace on my heart of that everything is just going to work itself out, you know? And so there is power in prayer, amen? Amen. That was my little testimony. Who can remember what we talked about last time on Sunday? Youth service. Yeah, what Johnny preached about last Sunday at youth service. Yes, right there, yeah. So fighting with God. But specifically, he mentioned a place. He mentioned a place.
Penuel.
Penuel, right? Is that? Peniel, right? So he mentioned this place where Jacob, I believe, Jacob came face to face with God, and he lived and he survived, right? So that was really cool, and I was kind of thinking about that and whatnot this past week, and when Johnny asked me to preach, I was like, dude, I'm so excited to preach because I haven't preached at youth in a long time, and I'm very nervous. So I'll ask you guys to pray for me in your seats real quick, and let's all bow our heads in prayer before we start reading the word. Actually, Lord, we thank you, Father, for your word, God, and we thank you, Lord, for this time that we can have, Lord, and spend time in your word, Lord. I pray you just your blessing right now upon each and every single heart. God, I pray that they can receive something today, God. Lord, I have nothing outside of you, Jesus, and I just pray that you will speak through me in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, open to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Another question, who remembers what Pastor preached last Sunday? Vera, what story was that? Do you remember what story it was? All right, I'll give you guys a hint. From Acts chapter 3, right? So what happened is Apostle Peter and somebody else was walking to the temple to worship, yeah. And he sees this lame beggar, and he's like, asking for money, and Apostle Peter's like, yo, I don't have any money, but what I do have, I'll give to you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk, right? And it was like this big deal. And if you keep reading Acts chapter 3, you can find it like what actually happened from that and how big how much it shook up the whole area around them, right? So last Sunday, I was sitting, and as Pastor was reading from Acts chapter 3, I looked up. Because my Bible, it kind of like is shaped like this right here, where we have Acts chapter 3 there. And so you can actually look up and see what happened right before Acts chapter 3. And so the book of Acts is literally the book of Acts. It's like a history book. So it's like chronological order. So I was like, man, I just want to read what happened right before Peter and John were going to the temple. So I took a look. So let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Amen. So it talks about a group of people that were just started seeking the Lord. Right? And if you guys are familiar with the book of Acts, if you look from chapter 1 up to this point, there was this day of Pentecost that happened, where there was about a group of 120 people or so, and they were all praying in one place, and they're all seeking God. It was right after the ascension of Jesus Christ, and they were all together seeking God, and Jesus gave them a promise that when I leave, I will send a comforter, and I will send the Holy Spirit in my place. And so they were all praying and seeking, and all of a sudden on the day of Pentecost, the tongues came, and they were all speaking in different tongues, and if you guys don't believe me, read Acts chapter 1 and 2, and they were speaking in different tongues, right? And they were talking about the glory of God, and at that time in Jerusalem, there was a ton of people from all over the place, and they were all from like different languages, and they all heard their own language. They're like, wait, this is talking about the mighty works of God, right? So what happened was, they're like, they couldn't understand what was going on. So they were like, they just kind of wrote off this group of people. They said, man, they're drunk, whatever, you know. And Peter stands up with this newfound boldness from the Holy Spirit, and he starts preaching this sermon. And this sermon, when you read it, it doesn't seem like such a big deal, right? But from that day, there was 3,000 people that got saved. 3,000 people. Guys, 3,000 people. We can't fit 3,000 in this room. All right, 3,000 people got saved in that one day from that one sermon. So this section we just read, that's talking about those 3,000 people. They were all devoted together. They were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So something happened. There was a revival. There was an intense revival. 3,000 new converts all together. Like, if I was Peter, I'd be like, what am I going to do with all these people? You can't minister to every single person in a day. That's 3,000 people, right? It's a huge amount of people that just got saved. And yet, they were all together devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings. Man. And I got interested in the word devoted. Because we like to throw around the word devotions. I'm gonna go do some devotions, or you know, guys, do your devotions, or hey guys, are you guys devoted, or hey, I was just doing devotions and the Lord spoke to me, or something like that, right? We throw around this word devoted or devotions. But if we actually look into what this word means, so devotion means loyal, faithful, or committed, right? So at this time they were devoting, they were committing themselves to the apostles' teachings. I just want to follow what happened step by step. Because these people got saved, right? And you and I got saved, right? So we're all saved people here, amen?
Amen.
All right, we're all saved people here, amen?
Amen.
Amen? Amen, there we go. So we get saved, right? Yes.
Yes.
The next step, which when we look at what happened here, is they started devoting themselves, right? Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So they started devoting themselves to the teachings of the apostles. They started devoting themselves to the prayers, to the breaking of bread, to the fellowship, right? They start devoting themselves. What happens next? And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All right? So many times we like to go from being saved to going straight up seeing miracles and healings. We're like, dude, God, do something, work, or whatever. But we forget about the time we have to spend with God, with time we have to be devoted to God. And that's what I want to talk about today is devotion. Devotion. Everybody say devotion.
Devotion.
Everybody say devotion.
Devotion.
Come on. All right. People can be committed to a lot of different things, right? I used to do this sport called parkour. I used to be really devoted to doing it. I would do flips. I messed both my knees up. I had to get knee surgery one time, and I was super devoted. I was on crutches. I was going, and I was like doing pull-ups and stuff because I was super devoted to parkour, you know? If you guys don't know what it is, just doing flips and stuff. But It's not that crazy. But I was devoted, and I was super passionate about it. I had, you know, my screensaver was on my phone was parkour. The stickers on my laptop were about parkour. The stickers up on my mirror were parkour. And I was just like, man, it's such a big deal. My brother went to Florida for Bible school, and I was asking him, like, hey, man, does anybody do parkour there? I was, like, super, like, into it, you know? I was, like, just committed to parkour. I was devoted to it, right? And people are devoted to all sorts of things. People are devoted to cars. People are devoted to their jobs, their schools, and that's not necessarily bad. But when we have something that we're devoted to more than we are devoted to God, it becomes an
idol.
It becomes an
idol.
Yes, an idol. A little four-letter word, right? But it's so strong in our lives, and it creates such a block between us and God. So anything that takes our devotion in place of God is called an idol. And the Ten Commandments says you should have no other idol, no other gods before me. No other gods before me. So where we spend our free time, think about this, y'all. Where do you guys spend your free time? Because when I did parkour, all my free time was in parkour. Like, I was sitting in school drawing pictures of things I wanted to climb and stuff. Like, that, I was just so devoted. That was my free time. Like, my mind was there. Always there, right? So what do you spend your free time on? Like, where do you spend your free time? What do you spend your free time on? Because where you spend your free time, that's where your heart is going to be. You guys ever heard of the saying, where your heart is, that's where home is? Your home is where the heart is, right? So where you consider yourself at home, or where you consider yourself comfortable, or where you spend your free time, that's where your idol is going to be. That's where your priorities are. So we look at these people that got saved in the Bible, right? 3,000 souls. And all 3,000 of them were devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings. To the apostles' teachings. And that did something. That actually stirred up the culture around them. Right? It stirred up everything around them. Can I get an amen real quick? All right. It seems like you guys are sleeping or something. All right. Let's go up to Acts 4:31. Really quickly, just one verse. I just found it very interesting when I was reading through it. It's about these new believers, right? And it says, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So there were Christians committed. There was a Christian church that was committed themselves to the teachings and the prayers and experienced God on many levels that they have never experienced them before. Paul Washer says, the mark of a man of God is God upon the man. And we'll get to that back in a second. But let's talk about doing devotions. Because doing devotions, that's something that we talk about maybe a lot here. And we don't really get into depth of what a devotion is or how to spend time with God. We just say, guys, spend time with God. And I've actually told a person that before. And he's like, I don't know what to do. Is that kind of like prayer? Is that kind of like, do I just like listen to worship songs? Do I just, you know, what do I do during this devotional time with God? Doing devotions, right? Doing devotions, since we know that devoted means being committed, right? Devoted means being committed. So doing devotions is just committing a section of your day just to be with Jesus, right? To be with God. So when we take that part of our day just to be with God, things start happening in our lives, right? But I want to talk about that little time we give to God, okay? Because during that time we give to God, we can actually say, and this happened to me a lot, where I say, man, I'm going to give these hour to God, and I spend 25 minutes of it. I spend 10 minutes of it making coffee. I spend 15 minutes of it on Facebook seeing what's going on in the news. Then I spend another 10 minutes looking for a song to turn on. And then I spend 10 minutes with God, and then I got to go to work, right? So a lot of times we have to figure out what we want to do in our time with God. What we want to do in our devotional moment, all right? So doing devotions, that's focusing everything that you are, every part of your mind on God. every part of your mind on God. You're not focused on the coffee. You're not focused on the Facebook. You're focused on God. Every single moment. Like if you're saying, God, I'm going to spend an hour with you today. That hour needs to be focused on God. You can be listening to sermons. It doesn't have to be like the same thing every single day. Because a lot of times we talk about devotions and it's like, man, is that just praying for an hour straight? No, it's not. Listen to sermons. Listen to music. Sing. Scream. Do whatever. All right? Just, it's you and God. Man, I want to share a quick testimony about quality time equals quantity time. So, a quick testimony. When I went to Bible school, right, the first 2 months, because I went to SMBS, Slavic Missionary Bible School, that's where I met my wife. She's awesome. But I went to SMBS, and the first 2 months, I did not want to be there. Because Bible school is like, you're always surrounded by people. There's always people around you, right? So you have to, she knows, right? Whoever's been to Bible school, they know. There's always people around you. And you're like, dude, I just want to get away from everybody. I just want to pray. But every time you go in your room, there's about four other guys in there. And you're like, dude, like, where do I go and pray? There's nowhere to pray. There's nowhere to just be alone with God. There's somebody always there, right? And so the first 2 months, I didn't want to be there. I was like, Lord, why am I here? I don't want to be in this school. Like, yeah, this is awesome and this is fun, but I feel like I'm wasting my time. I don't want to be here. And there was this one time we were playing volleyball in the backyard. And I look over and I notice this van. There's just van that's parked in the back of our house. And it looked like it was in an accident and somebody just came and parked it there. I'm not sure if it's even still there or not. Aniston House, you guys know if it's still there? Is it? It's not there anymore? Oh, man. Well, I look at this van and I look at it and I'm like, that looks like a nice, quiet place to be alone. And so the next morning, I'm like, man, I'm going to go to that van and pray. So I get up at 6 in the morning and I make myself some coffee again. And I go to this van, right? And I just start praying and seeking God. And for the rest of Bible school, that was my van. I was like, I'm going to my van. This is where I meet God. This is my peniel, right? This is where I go and do battle. This is where I go and do work. And every morning, no matter how I felt, I get up, I make my coffee, and I go into that van. I listen, I scream. I yell, and I hope nobody else heard me, but they probably did. But I sang. I just dealt with God. You just deal with God. So doing devotions, man, find a place to do your devotions. Find a place where you can just be there and just meet with God. And just be in the presence of God. And just let everything else go and just be in the presence of God. Paul Washer, he shares his testimony about how he started to meet with God. And he says that at first he just went to his closet. He's like, God, I'm going to stay in here for as long as I can until I meet with you, right? And he goes in there, 20 minutes comes by, and he falls asleep. And he wakes up. He's like, that's not going to do it. So the next day he goes back in there, he sets an alarm clock. And it happens like that for like 3-4 months straight, and he's not experiencing God. And he has a hunger, he has a thirst, but he's not experiencing God. You know, a lot of times we can be like that. We can go into our prayer closets and sit down and just try to be with God, and we feel like nothing ever happens. We feel like there's nothing else around it. You know, it's like, God, you don't hear me, or you're not there, or whatever. Like the preacher said today, he went to talk to God in the field, but God never talked back, and so you got mad at God, right? But sometimes we just have to keep fighting to be with God. Like, no matter how you feel or no matter how hard it is, if you just got in a fight with your parents and you're just like, man, Lord, and you, because this happened to me before, I go and sit in my closet and I just had a fight with my sister or something. I just can't pray. You just can't pray. Until you take yourself and you move yourself away and you focus your mind on God and your heart on God. right? And then you go and make up with your sister and your parents or whatever, and you make it all better. Amen? So the mark of a man of God is God upon the man. It's God upon the man. It's when you go into that prayer room with God, and it's you and God. He deals with you and he moves through you. And you walk out of that prayer room and it's still God with you. Right? And you walk throughout your day and you're with. And some of you are looking at me like, this is weird. This is weird. Like, what are you talking about? Man, if you guys haven't experienced the presence of God, I urge you. Deeply urge you to go into your prayer closet and just block everything else off and just be with God. You know, after I got back from Bible school, I went to missions. I led a missionary team out, you know, to Honduras, and I got back from Bible school. There were days when I sit down to do devotions. I sit down to meet with God and nothing happened. And I spent 30 minutes and I'm like, man, I have to go do something. And you run out the door and you go do whatever you set out to do, but God is not on our schedule. We're on his schedule. You know, we can't just pencil him in. Like, hey, God, you know, 20 minutes I'm going to spend with you. You better come right here, you know, right now. But a lot of times we give in too soon. And maybe you're here and maybe you have experienced the presence of God before in your life. And maybe you have done devotions where God has filled you in such a magnificent way that you came out of there and you were just so filled with the Spirit, so filled with the peace of God, so filled with the joy of God. But now when you go into your prayer closet and you try to pray and it's like God doesn't hear you, and you spend that time with God, but God doesn't speak back to you. It's like he's not there, and we give in too easily. We give in way too easily. Man, who has ever experienced that before? Man, I guess I'm the only one. But then we can't give in too easily. All right, quantity time equals quality time. You know, I experience the presence of God, and his presence is so real. Like, it's more real than anybody else in this room. Like, the presence of God is real. It is so real. Oh, man, can't seem to get past the presence of God. The presence of God is so real, amen? Amen? Amen, awesome. Oh man, what do I want to say? Lord, speak. Lord, speak. Man, there's times where you probably experience this too, where you don't want to leave the presence of God. And you're worshiping, you're praying, and you're looking at the clock, and it's like, God, I got to go to work. Can you come with me? I got to go to work. It's like, I don't want to go without you. I want to go with you. And that's how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to carry the presence of God everywhere we go. I mean, like, every decision you make, every single, every conversation, every spare moment, like, I'll be working and just praying, just talking with God, just conversating with God. Like, I'll be stapling, hitting these staples into this piece of wood, and I'll just be like, Lord, like, that's what I do for work. I just hit staples into pieces of wood. But I just talk to God. I'm like, Lord, help me. Because sometimes those staples are hard to hit. And you hit your fingers and stuff. But like, you just start talking with God in every single moment of your life. Man, another important thing is don't rely on your feelings or your emotions. Because when we rely so much on our emotions and our feelings, and we go in that prayer closet, we open our Bibles, or we just start praying, and we don't feel it. We don't, you know what I'm talking about, guys? You just don't feel God. You just don't feel the love. You don't feel anything, right? You don't feel anything. And it's just like, we base it so much off of that. But the Bible says he will never leave or forsake you. You have to understand that God is always with you. Like, he is always with you. It's up to us to make a connection with the God. It's up to us to focus our mind, focus our hearts on the one who has never left or has never forsaken you for a single moment in your life. He has always been there. He is always loving you. He's constantly loving you. Every single moment, he's always loving you. And he wants to spend time with you. He wants to spend time with you. Amen. So when it's a constant battle, guys. You always have to fight it, like your own emotions, your own feelings and everything. You just got to always fight your emotions, man. Fight your feelings. Like, God, I don't feel you, but I know you're there. Because the power of knowing that God is here, that he's right here in this place, that's so much stronger than what you're feeling inside. Because if you make your mind to know, if you know for a fact that God is right here, and you start speaking to him like he's right here, Lord, you're right here, right? And you start speaking to him, and you start praying to him, and you start walking with him like, Lord, come on, you know, like, or Lord, where do you want to take me? Or it's like you just start talking with God. Your emotions are going to follow. Your emotions will follow. Your feelings are going to follow. So doing devotions. Doing devotions is not really complicated. It's just spending some time with God. You know, if you haven't ever done devotions in your life, take a half hour and just focus your mind on God. Like, you will notice right away, things are going to start going in your mind, like certain things you have to do or something somebody said or something that, just whatever. All sorts of stuff starts going in your head at that time when you're trying to spend with Jesus. But you got to just block everything out and just be with him. Just be with him. Just be with him. Oh, man. So let's go back to Acts real quick. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. But they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimonies to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses. This is going to be Acts chapter 4, verse 34. Acts chapter 4, verse 34. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it down at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Amen. So we see something happen here, right? Not only do they have a devotion to God, not only do they have this intense devotion to the Lord God who has given them salvation, but they now have a different relationship with each other. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. So check this out, guys. They say that sermons, they don't really change people. And I agree with that, because you can listen to hundreds of thousands of sermons in your life, and it might not change you. The Holy Spirit is what changes you, all right? He's what changes you. So I want you guys to walk away with something today, all right? Just with something today. Everybody listening?
Amen.
Just one thing, ready? One thing, ready? The Lord God of the universe. The one who created every single thing. The one who created you and everything that you're going through. He knows it all. That same God wants to be with you. That same God wants to spend time with you. So if you forget everything else about this sermon or about this day, remember this one thing, that God of the universe, he wants to be with you. He wants to spend this time with you individually because he loves you. You are his child and he loves you. Not everybody's a child of God. There's people out here that are childs of Satan, that are childs of the enemy. But we are children of God, bought by an incredible price, and that God wants to spend time with you. He wants to be with you in a relationship with you. Amen? Amen. So when we have a good relationship with God, right, we're going to have a different relationship with people, right? So it's like this whole cross example, right? When we have the up, then we have the vertical. When we have the vertical, we get the horizontal, right? So when we have the vertical, we get the horizontal. So when we have an intimate relationship with Jesus, we start having a different relationship with people around us. We see this in Acts chapter 4 that we just read. They had all things in common. Like, it was weird. Like, it kind of sounds like a cult or something, right? They had all things in common. They were selling their lands. They were selling their houses. They were helping. They were giving each other money. They were just, you know, with each other the whole time. You know, they were selling their lands. They were giving up their status as a landowner. They were giving up their status like, hey, I own land, but I sold it to help somebody else out, right? To help somebody else out. They brought everything that they were. It was nothing compared to knowing Christ. So when they came to the, when they experienced the presence of God, when they experienced God, everything else in their lives changed. They started selling stuff, right? They started doing weird stuff, like being with one mind and one heart and one soul, and saying that this doesn't belong to me, this is everybody else's. Can you imagine that? Like just saying, hey, this isn't my car, this is everybody's car. Like my keys are here, take them when you need them. You know, they weren't picky about that stuff. They knew that this is a family now. This is a church now. This is a body of believers. 3,000 people, guys, and not only with 3,000 people, there's souls getting added to them every single day. Every single day, they saw the salvation of people and salvation of souls. Like further on in chapter 5, I think it was, maybe it was chapter 4. People were like weirded out by them. They didn't want to even go to where they were. Like, man, it's kind of strange. They're acting like strange. They were different. They were different than what they were before. So they put aside their differences. I mean, you guys got to understand something. The people that were saved in Jerusalem, like, they weren't all the same race. They weren't all Jews. They weren't all Israelites. They weren't all the same race. Some of them had beef with each other. But they set all their differences aside. They set everything else aside to see God. You know, their relationship with God aligned them with each other. Amen. There was not a needy person among them. So they looked after each other every chance they got to. And a lot of times I think that's a shortcoming of churches, is that we don't support each other like we should. You know, if somebody's struggling with financially, we don't. Our church does, but maybe. But other churches, they don't give money to them, or they don't help them out financially, or maybe somebody's struggling with a death or whatever. But us Christians, we're just like, man, I'm just living my life. I'm dealing with my issues. I'm doing me. I'm just doing me right now. I don't want to deal with whatever you're dealing with, because I got my own issues. I got to pay my rent. I got to, you know, take care of my family. I got a baby on the way, so I got to take care of me. But it's not about you. It's not about you anymore. And we see this right here. When God changed their lives, it wasn't about them. They sold their lands. They sold their statuses. Like, man, I'm a believer now. I have this mission, this reason to live that is so much bigger than being a landowner. It's so much bigger than having status or something else. It's so much greater than that. It's so much greater than that. So they sold it all and they helped each other out. They were devoted to each other out of love, right? Because let me tell you guys the gospel really quick. Because the gospel, if you know the gospel, then this will make sense. This will all make sense, right? So the gospel message is that we are all fallen. Romans 3:23 says, all have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So all of us have sinned against His holy God. And His holy God has a wrath upon us. And His holy God has His anger, because every time we sin, we deserve death. So God has this cup of anger, this cup of wrath that He wants to pour out on the people that sinned against Him, right? And Jesus Christ says, I'm going to go, I'm going to die for them, each and every single one of them. So He goes to the cross. The wrath of God gets poured out onto Jesus instead of us. Right? So now we have salvation, not because of something we did. Because if it's by something we did, we deserve death. We deserve death and wrath and eternal tormentation in hell. But it's what Jesus did on the cross. So these people, when they believe the gospel, they believe, I love these people, because not because they did something, but because Christ first loved me. That's why I can love them. Right? So living out the gospel in your life means, it looks something like this, right? If somebody wrongs you, if it's a brother or sister in Christ, you love them not because they did something wrong to you. You love them because Christ loved you first. You forgive them because Christ forgave you first. You take care of them because Christ took care of you. And this is not easy to preach about, because if I preach this, then I'm going to have to live this. Amen? So for me, it's not easy to preach about, but we as Christians need to be taking care of each other. Every single moment, every single chance we can get. Every chance we can get. Why? Because God took care of us. And we're all here as a family together. Amen? So our vertical relationship will change our horizontal relationship with each other. Man, the mark of a man of God is God upon the man. Just want to say that again. Because when we spend time with God, everything changes. And we see God through people, right? I always go back to my brother. But when my brother went to Bible school, man, he came back, he was totally changed. When he went to Bible school, he had anger issues. Like, I saw those anger issues, like, all the time through him. And he was always getting angry and whatnot. But he went to Bible school, he came back, and I saw God change his life. Not because of Bible school, but because of God, right? And I saw God change his life, and I saw him go, you know, pray every morning in the prayer closet, and I was like, dude. And he would walk out of his prayer closet, and there was just this like life coming from him, right? It's kind of like aroma of life, and it's like, that's so crazy cool. You know, every time he would talk, he would speak life. And before, he was just like, he would just put me down, you know. But afterwards, he just like lovingly, man, like, dude, like, come on, you know. He's asking me different questions. One time he was like, what's better, one day in God's courts or thousand days somewhere else? And I'm like thinking, like, dude, I could do so much stuff in 1,000 years, you know. But he's like, no, man, one day in God's courts, you know. He just that kind of stuff, right? He would just start, he was like, he's changed. God changed him. And you can see that off a person. When a person starts spending time with God, they're different. They're just different. They start walking around with this life, this joy, this peace. Sometimes they're even tired, but they're just peaceful. They don't, like, man, they don't get stressed out. I do, but you know what I mean? Like you do still get stressed out, but you know who's in control. And you got to stop in that moment and just be like, Lord, you're in control. And it's like that kind of stuff. So a person who has an intimacy and relationship with God, they're different. They're changed. I heard a preacher put it this way. He says, man, a person who doesn't have a relationship with God, doesn't know God, or it's not known by God, you know, their day looks kind of like this, right? They get up in the morning, they're running late. Their nerves are natality. They have like stretched nerves, and they're just like, ah, and they have this project that's due for let's say, you know, for work, and they have to do this project, and they're just like so eager to do it, and their boss is calling them, and they're getting in the car, and they're running down the stairs, and their wife says, honey, take the trash out. And they're like, no, like, I'm so stressed out, I can't. And he just like straight up, you know, yells at his wife, and he gets in his car and he justifies himself like, yeah, I'm stressed out. Like, yeah, like she's not caring about my feelings right now. She's not caring about what I'm doing right now, you know. But after the same person goes into the presence of God and gets changed by God and starts knowing who God is, the morning looks like this. They're up again in the morning, right? They're rushing downstairs. They're nervous and talented. They're like stressing out about this other project. And their boss is calling them. And they're like driving. They're rushing down the stairs. And their wife goes, take the trash out, honey. And he goes, can't you see I'm stressed out? Oh, my goodness. And he runs out to his car. And he like yells at his wife. He gets in his car. And he feels bad. Right? And he's driving to work. And it's eating at him. And he's driving, and it's like, oh, why did I do that? Why did I say that? And he gets up to the office, and he's like, you know what, boss, just give me 5 minutes, I gotta call my wife. And he calls his wife, and he's like, honey, I'm sorry. Forgive me, right? Because a person who's changed by the presence of God can't be that same person. They might have the same reactions at first, but later on, they're gonna be like, dude, I can't keep living like this. I can't keep living like this. I think Charles Spurgeon put it this way. He says, if you're a pig, if you're a hog, right, like a literal pig, and, you know, you have a steak dinner in front of you and you have a bucket of slob or trash, whatever, the pig is always going to go to the bucket. always going to go to the bucket, right? It's just always, every time. But if you're eating the trash, if you're eating the slob, and all of a sudden you get transformed into a man, if you get transformed by God into a man, right, somehow supernaturally, you're going to be ashamed that you're eating trash. A pig is happy they're eating trash. A pig loves it, right? But you're going to be ashamed of it. You're going to look around and people are looking at you eating trash. You're ashamed of it. You're not going to want to be there. Right, when we get changed by the presence of God, when we do evil things, or when we react in that way, when we get stressed out, we get ashamed of it. We get ashamed of it. Man, praise God. Hallelujah. All right, so when we start seeking God, God starts changing us. When He starts changing us, He starts changing people around us. All right, so if you guys want an awakening, or a revival in our youth, or something else, start seeking God. Start seeking His presence like never before. Man, the Bible says, seek and it shall be, and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given to you. Knock and it shall be opened to you. You know, every single step, it kind of like amplifies, right? First you're seeking, then you're asking, and then you're knocking. Then you're banging at the door, you know, like every time it gets greater and greater, right? Man, I want to just encourage you guys. If you guys have never experienced the presence of God, I'm actually going to be finishing right now. But if you guys have never experienced the presence of God, today is a great day to experience the presence of God. Because God is in this place right now. So if you guys have never experienced spending that time with Him, or maybe you have experienced it before, but you haven't experienced it in a long time, and it's been like years, maybe months, maybe weeks, and you just haven't had the time, or maybe you haven't spent those moments just in the presence of God, and maybe you're stressed out about something or whatever, but God loves you. Jesus loves you, and God wants to spend these moments with you. God wants to spend that time with you. All right, so we're going to pray right now real quick. Let's all get up and pray. If you guys want that life in you, if you want life in you, you know, come up here and we'll pray with you. See, we're not only going to just pray for you, we're going to pray with you. Because each and every single one of us has been in that spot where we're trying to experience God, or we want to experience God, but we have nobody to tell us how to do it. Or we haven't experienced Him in such a long time. You know, God is here right now. And He wants to have this relationship with you. God wants to have this intimacy with you. God wants to speak to you and show you things that He's never shown you before. God wants to speak to you. Secrets from His Word. God wants to tell you where you need to be transformed. It's not enough just being here on Sunday or on Wednesday or on Friday. I used to go to church almost every day of the week. But I've never had this intimacy with God. This intimacy with God will change your life. It will change how you do life. Don't be satisfied with previous experiences. Don't be satisfied with experiencing God yesterday, or experiencing God last month or last week or last camp. Expect new things from God every day. Expect new things from God every day. So right now, during prayer, if you guys want to come up here, we'll pray with you. Because God is here in this place.